Glenn, could you just do a roll of who's here so that we know at least who's here to start with at this meeting? Though, as I say, this is not a quorum, not a voting meeting.
I'll do a roll call. We have Olga.
Yep.
Audrey.
Yep.
Chuck Holmes.
Yep.
Christina.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Norbert.
I'm here.
Greg Ruth.
Yes.
Philip Shepherd.
Yes.
Tim Reed.
Here.
Adrian Kinderis. Tom Keller. Jordi Iparagura. Edmund Chan. Mike Kinbach. Zaid. Tony Harris. Robin Graf, Sister Souza, Ita Deca, Yon Bing. So we have got each person, and sorry, we've got Marika Koenig, Olaf Nordling, and myself from staff.
Okay, thank you. So,
and it looks like Tony Holmes may have dropped off temporarily.
No,
is that right?
I assume he's muted, but not as dropped
muted,
off.
Oh, muted, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think muted, yes.
Okay.
That's fine.
So,
I see that now.
But someone from every constituency.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to have someone from every constituency. As I say, I did not plan this as a voting meeting, given its interim status, but I did want to have a chance to talk through the list we were proposing, to make any trade-offs that we feel we need to make. And so I sent out an email with an agenda. There were only two items on the agenda: allocation of travel slots for Cairo, and then a second item, if there was time and if there was the inclination to talk about it at all, is a discussion of next steps, if any, in responding to the staff-determined travel policy for the GNSO. So the information, I sent out an email basically suggesting a method of coming up with our list, which was, in following the policy, that each of the constituencies would send to the council list, to me, whatever, a list containing 0 to 3 names. That in that list, the first name from each of the constituencies would have an automatic travel slot, leaving possibly 4, possibly more, had any constituency not decided to put in a suggestion, but leaving 4 if each one did. We did get at least one name from each constituency, which gives us 6 names in the default travel spot. And that's Mike Rodenbaugh for the BC, Uta Decker for the IPC, Tony Harris for the ISPC, Robin Gross for NCUC, Clark Walton for the registrars, and Carolyn Hoover for the registries. That left 4 spots and 5 names. For the business constituency, Zahid Jamil and Philip Shepherd. For the IPC, Christine Rosette. For the ISPC, Greg Ruth. For the NCUC, Norbert Klein. Now, an extra detail came through, which was that Uta Decker and Greg Ruth can get partial support, travel plus hotel for some of the nights, but not all of the nights, and expenses, I guess, for some of the days, but not all of the days, because of their NOMCOM status and the support they get through NOMCOM. I haven't received final confirmation yet, but there are some funds. The funding is, and Glenn can give a better confirmation on this. It seems that there are funds left over in a budget from the DNSO days, and that these funds would be adequate to cover additional nights hotel if we were to put the two people who have NOMCOM support and were to cover that. Now, I've asked for verification that these funds can be used this way. These funds have been around for a while. They haven't been used, I think, since I've been chair, and there's sort of been a discussion as to what should happen with them. And I think once we finish our structural reorg, we need to take a look at exactly what happens. These things have just been sitting in a budget forever. So it means that we do have the ability, if Uta Decker and Greg Ruth took the partial support from NOMCOM, to cover the extra nights in the hotel, but I still need confirmation of that fact. So, we've also, one of the questions that was pending is whether we could split support between two people, and if someone take flight and someone take hotel expenses. We've been told quite definitively that that is not a permissible option, and so therefore one has a complete... Now, that doesn't mean that one has to take both flight and hotel, I believe, and that would just leave the rest of the money in the budget, but it does mean that we can't give one person one and one person the other. So I think I've said, and so in my note, I included everything I've just said, plus, and this is specifically for anybody that didn't happen to be in front of a computer, and I include the excerpts, the pertinent excerpts from the email with the request at the bottom of that message. So I guess I open the floor with a question on whether this is significant in terms of the IPC, in that Uta Decker, as the first name on the slot, is occupying the automatic slot, but if she were to say she would go with the NOMCOM and that, then Christina could be moved into that slot, but that hasn't happened yet because I've gone with the procedure I suggested. So I guess I'd like to open it to other people that want to comment, want to suggest what we should do. In some sense, it looks like everyone can be covered, but we need to discuss it.
Ari, can you put me in the...
Who, this was?
Christina.
Christina, sorry, you were so faint, I couldn't hear you. Christina, who else?
Norbert.
Norbert, anyone else want to be in the initial queue?
Chuck.
Chuck, anyone else?
Philip.
Philip, anyone else? Oh, that's a good starter queue. Okay, Christina.
Two questions. First, I understand that you can't have members of the constituency sharing the package with one getting air and one getting hotel. But how exactly would it work if somebody took full support but only used the hotel? I mean, I understood you just suggested that might be an option. I want to make
right,
sure.
Yeah, no, as far as I can tell, I'd have to confirm this, but from that, you would just speak to the travel agent and say, I just need the travel support, the hotel support. Now, we can confirm this afterwards if that's what we decide. Just use the travel support, don't need a ticket, and then the budget remains.
That would certainly help me because I really truly only need partial support, so I'm not comfortable asking for more than that. The other question I had is that the very helpful memo that Doug Brent circulated indicated that recipients of travel support would have to be in attendance for all of the meetings deemed necessary by their FO. And my question for everyone is, are we considering the Saturday meetings, notwithstanding the fact that they are the day before the meeting officially starts, are we considered attendance at those to be a prerequisite for travel funding?
Interesting question. I hadn't given any thought.
And the reason I ask is that I need to be in D.C. until early evening on Friday night, which means that the earliest I can get to Cairo is Saturday.
Yeah, can I express an opinion there, Aubrey?
Sure.
I think it would be fair for the SO to make that that decision, and I mean the fact that someone has a conflict in their regular life that interferes with the other two, I think should also be fine. I mean, we all run into those kind of situations.
Yeah, seems reasonable. I mean, I
but this is Tim. I'd like to express an opinion on that too.
Okay.
I mean, if I don't agree. I mean, if we're going to fund people's travel to an ICANN meeting, then, you know, we should focus those funds based on need, although I think we're skewing off of that already, but at least to make sure that we fund people who can be there for the entire meeting. And those working meetings on Saturday and Sunday are important. And if, you know, we're going to fund somebody to be there, let's make sure they can be there for the whole thing. I don't see why we would give funding to someone who's only be there for part of the time.
Philip, I just have a question which is concerning on this point on equity. If somebody is a member of council and we're saying they would be required to be to a pre-meeting of council, say on the Saturday, would that also apply to people who are not members of council and, say, observers who are actually not needed at that meeting as well? I think we need to be clear when we're making this sort of policy where we go.
It would seem actually a reasonable that all council meetings and all SO meetings would be all SO meetings, whether somebody was on council or not. Obviously, if the meeting was closed to them, that would be an issue, but we don't have closed meetings. So I would think that all would be all for everyone.
Okay.
That seems to me reasonable, but, you know, obviously we have to talk. I'll go back to the queue now. Christina, had you finished with your point?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Norbert.
I just wanted to ask, you said there are these leftover funds which might be used for Ute Becker and for Gertrude. They have to be confirmed. Do you know when the confirmation will happen?
Glenn?
Sorry, I didn't catch the confirmation of?
The question on whether the old VNSO fund budget can be used.
Oh, no, there is no limit that has been put on that.
So in other words, I can use those for that purpose, because as far as I understand, those have been designated as something that the chair of the GNSO can apply as needed?
Yes.
So in other words, I can say, yes, that is something, and I won't get feedback later that I could not do that.
Well, that is in the resolution that was made.
Okay, thank you.
Which would you like me to send that to council right now?
That would probably be good.
Okay.
Thank you. So I guess, Norbert, the answer is it looks like we have that confirmation that I can use those funds that way.
That helps us today. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck.
Yeah, and I was just, the question I sent to the list just before we started with regard to the two NOMCOM members are funded for the whole meeting venue, then they would count against the 10 for the council. But it sounds like you have come up with that we now have an alternative for that. So
yes, that they would have a completely separate source of funding, which would be NOMCOM plus this.
Yeah,
so
I guess my question becomes kind of irrelevant then, even though, Glenn, I guess I understood you that I was correct in my assumption.
Yes, because I sent the question to Denise via Jabba, and she answered yes, Chuck.
Thanks.
But that's not what the policy says is posted.
Well, they're not being funded under that policy.
Well, if you look at the chart, and it lists the SO, GNSO. It says number of non-com appointees 3, additional support to the remaining council, half the remaining council size and a chair, that's 10. Total supported travelers is actually 13, which includes the 3 non-com appointees.
No, there's a difference.
Well, according to that, they're included in that policy.
The confusion here, I believe, is between non-com appointees and members of the nominating committee. So Uta and Greg are members of the nominating committee and are being funded to attend part of the meeting, and they have this special meeting on the weekend after by ICANN as nominating committee participants. And what was missing is that that support only began, I forget what day it begins, but it begins, it doesn't start even on the Sun, the Monday.
It starts on Thursday.
It starts on the Thursday. So we would need to make up for the expenses funding for the Saturday through Wednesday. As that is not covered by the nominating committee, because the nominating committee does not require people to actually watch an ICANN meeting. It merely requires them to choose NOMCOM appointees, but doesn't require them to actually participate in the meeting.
Got it.
Which is interesting in itself, but that's a different topic. Okay. So, at the moment, what I guess, and this is a question for the IPC, is I have Uta Decker in, as she's occupying the top slot, in the IPC slot. And I'm wondering, how we handle that. Because without the IPC saying, you know, she's not the number one in the slot, she's the number two, and therefore please put Christina in, or, you know, she's not on the list anymore because she's taking the NOMCOM, I have to work with the constituency list.
If you're at, well, if you're asking whether the IPC would like to have Uta's kind of the non-NOMCOM covered portion of her travel funded by these additional legacy funds,
yep.
Yes, we would. Whether that moves me up on the list, I think, is irrelevant, because if the requirement for travel funding is that I have to be in Cairo at 9 a.m. Saturday morning, I cannot do that. I cannot be in Cairo before 7 p.m. And I should also note that, you know, according to the ICANN website, the meeting doesn't technically start until Sunday.
Yeah.
So in that case, you know, depending upon how the council goes, the IPC would not use any of its travel slots, and we would just reserve or hope that statements that have been made to the effect that we would be able to get additional slots next go-round would be permitted.
Okay. It seems. I mean, I agree that people should try and be at all of the meetings, and I think a rule. I agree with Chuck that we need to have certain bits of flexibility, but obviously it's something we would need to vote on in the council.
Right, and this is a unique situation. I mean, for me at least, it's going to take almost 24 hours of travel time. So, you know, if this meeting were located somewhere else in Paris, it wouldn't be a problem.
I understand. Okay, well, let's go back. Chuck, I had you on the list.
You already...
Oh, no, I already went through. Philip, did I get to you?
Oh, no. Thanks.
Okay, sorry.
Just a couple of observations and a question. One, in terms of the DNSO funding, I don't know if everybody is aware, but the origin of that funding was fees voluntarily paid by constituencies in order to fund their activities before we got a budget from ICANN. And I think the philosophy behind reserving that money was to use it for things that we thought were going to be the interest of policy making, perhaps the studies or something like that, when that money wasn't forthcoming from ICANN. So perhaps we need to look at the resolution that Glenn would be posting on that. So it's not, I think we need to be very clear that that is money that has come from constituencies, not from ICANN or historically. Second question I have is I'm slightly confused as to this overlap between councillors and nominating committee members, I thought you could only be one or the other, or, the, or is it just a transitional?
No, no, again, it's two different categories. And we confuse because we call them NOMCOM. There are NOMCOM appointees, of which Olga, John, and I are NOMCOM appointees.
Sure.
There are nominating committee members.
Yes, but
appointees, and Greg and Uta are committee members.
Yes, but I understood that to be a committee member of the nominating committee, you were ineligible to be a member of a body that the committee appointed to.
No. In fact, nominating committee, there are BC members. In fact, there's two BC members on the nominating committee, and there's one from each constituency.
But you can't be you can be a member of the constituency.
And you can be on the nominating committee. You just can't be appointed by the nominating committee.
I don't know. I just started looking at Section 8 of the bylaws under that. And it's something like, no person who serves on the nominating committee in any capacity should be eligible for selection by any means to any position on the board or any other ICANN body having membership positions the nominating committee is responsible for filling
up
until
the
conclusion of ICANN annual meeting, da-da-da.
Yeah, but that doesn't prevent them serve. I'm missing what you're saying, Philip, because in other words, they couldn't be appointed to the board. They couldn't be appointed as a NOMCOM rep on the council. But that doesn't prevent them serving on the NOMCOM and being in a constituency.
Well, we went through this process with a former councillor.
And it was a seat on
the board.
Oh, okay.
It gets confusing.
I mean, there may be a different issue in there, but it's certainly not an issue for us. You know, if there is some question about eligibility to serve on a NOMCOM, that certainly, on a nominating committee, that's certainly not an issue that we can deal with in anything.
No, sure, okay. All right. And my third point was really also, I think we need to have a clear rule also, I think, in terms of the beginning and the end of an ICANN meeting. And I think, regardless of circumstances in front of us, I think we get into trouble if we try to have something that is different to the official start and finish of the meetings, however those dates are so designated. It will just lead in the future to arbitrariness. So my recommendation would be that eligibility criteria, if we wish to set them, should be determined by the official start and finish time of these meetings, or at least the official start time, perhaps.
Can I respond to that, Aubrey?
Sure.
Yeah.
I disagree with that, while at the same time, being consistent with what I said earlier, that I think we need to have some flexibility there for exceptions. It's not arbitrary to say that from the GNSO's perspective, the commitment should involve any meetings we have prior to the start of official meetings. That's not arbitrary at all. It's very clear. It's very specific. At the same time, like I said before, I'm okay with having flexibility. In fact, I support having flexibility for exceptional situations in that regard.
And I don't know if it matters, but I'd like to add one comment is, and especially when someone is only taking partial support, it may make it easier to just be flexible. Queue's open, or Philip, had you finished?
I finished, yeah.
Yeah. Queue's open for people to discuss it further. Okay. What I'd like to recommend and get people to respond to is that we put Christina in the IPC slot, that we define that, you know, being at the meeting includes being there at all sessions, but flexibility for missing a day, and that Greg Ruth and Uta get the other funding, and that everyone else that's on this list would therefore be part of the 10. So in other words, we would have a list of travelers that would be Mike Rosenbaugh, Christina Rosette, Tony Harris, Robin Gross, Clark Walton, Carolyn Hoover, Zahid Jamil, Philip Shepard, and Norbert Klein. Yeah, I said Christina at the top of the list. I'm putting it together. With Uta Dekka and Greg Ruth getting NomCom committee support plus the supplemental funding from the DNSO budget. I understand, Philip, what you're saying about that, and that's one of the reasons why, even though I've sort of been, Glenn has made me aware of this budget, I've never really known what to do with it. This does strike me as being in support of the constituencies, and what I really think we need to do once we get to into the restructuring and into the talking about how we do things, ask one of the standing committees to actually think about this budget and what we do, and do we just use it? Do we subdivide it? Do we try to build on it for things, et cetera? It sort of sat there for a long time. This strikes me once before when we couldn't find funding for someone to come. We looked at using it and then found the funding somewhere else, so didn't need to. But it's one of the reasons I've sort of, it's been there, but I haven't really known what to do with it. In this case, using it for that supplemental funding seems to me to be reasonable, but certainly when I wrote this up, I would mention that as going in and council, you know, would have a chance to say, no, we think that's a bad idea, but that would be part of the package that I would certainly recommend. So I'd like to ask people to comment on going that way with it.
And yeah, this is Greg.
This is Tim.
Yeah.
This is Tim, I'd like in the queue.
Okay, I've got Greg, I've got Tim. Anyone else?
Philip, just a point of information.
Okay, Philip. Hey, Greg.
I'm happy with this kind of resolution for this specific case, the Cairo meeting. Obviously, in the future, we'll have to figure out what we really want to do. But now, a point of clarification, is this supplemental funding at this can be used at the discretion of the council, however the council wants to use this money?
Actually, I think it's actually at the discretion of the council chair.
Okay, but
it's not
something where I could say, oh, no, you can't use it for that.
That's what I was confirming, because I'm never totally secure that I can will let me do what I think we should be allowed to do. So that was what I was trying to confirm. Glenn has confirmed that. Obviously, after this meeting, if that's what, you know, we sort of have a general agreement to do, a rough consensus, as it were, to do, that's what I would write up as the proposal that I would ask to be verified. We would therefore have a week for, you know, any screaming that might happen about that. But I trust that Glenn has, you know, And that's what the policy says. So I think we should be okay.
So we'll know by
we'll
should all be sorted out by the September 4th.
Yeah. I mean, I believe we already do know, but yes, there's obviously always a chance for someone to, you know, come with a bigger stick.
Okay. Well, given that likelihood, I would speak in favor of the plan you suggested.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Well, clearly I'm not in favor. I mean, basically the plan you're suggesting then funds all the entire council membership for the business constituency, and two from the ISPC and two from the IPC. I can't believe in my wildest dreams that there's a real need to fund all three of the BC or even two of the IPC or the ISPC. And if we're going to go down that road, I would at least request that we go back to the NCUC, make sure that they know what's going on here, and give them an opportunity to fund their third counselor in lieu of somebody else.
Okay, just a point. They already listed that their third counselor was covered in that message that was sent.
Right, but they may decide to use this funding instead. Clearly, and that's a pretty sad state of affairs. If the NCUC could say, well, we can cover one of ours, but the DC can't cover anybody. I mean, this is just getting a little bit ridiculous from my point of view, the way we're using these funds. I don't think there's any need that we have to use all these funds. And if everybody's got at least one counselor supported or attending, then I don't see the need to fund everybody else.
Please add me to the queue, Aubrey.
Okay, so...
Thanks. I'll make my point of information and then a response. The point of, I don't know if everybody's seen it, but Glenn's now forwarded that resolution on the old DNSO funds. And I think what we had agreed back in 2003 was to authorize the council chair for expenditure up to 1,000 US. I think that was just seen as something in terms of practicality for something that might come up. The implication is beyond that, we need to make a decision as the council in terms of use of those funds.
Well, I was planning to put it in the package that I was going to ask the council to verify.
And I mean, just in his response, I mean, for me, the point of this funding is to maximize people who participate in policy development. And therefore, I think I support the proposal you made. People have indicated the level of support they would like in that pursuit of that objective. If we can accommodate by a little bit of juggling with Normacom everybody's request, that strikes me as a great idea.
Thank you. Chuck?
Yeah, well, the registry constituency has been very clear with regard to travel subsidization all along that we believe that support providing travel support in cases where there is a legitimate need. I certainly agree with Tim that it's not clear that there is a legitimate need in several cases, because in most cases it wasn't even no statement of need was even made. I specifically communicated with regard to the person that the registries put forward that there was a definite need, that the person couldn't attend if the funds weren't applied, and I did that intentionally because we do believe that this sort of activity should be based primarily on a need basis. We also believe that they should be active in the meetings, but the primary thing is need. So the registry certainly aren't in favor of supporting travel expenses for people who don't have a legitimate need. Last, I want to say that I think it creates a problem when we use what are essentially registrant funds to support travel of people who are lobbying for particular interests, and I'm totally supportive of them being able to lobby for their interests. I have no objection to that at all. Where I have concerns is where we're using general registrant fees, to subsidize those organizations. I think it creates a situation that's awkward and even creates some conflicts that would be better to avoid, except in cases where there's a legitimate need.
Okay, thanks. Before I want to create another queue, I want to put myself in it. Anyone else want to be in the queue? Okay.
Abby?
Yeah? Is that Olga or is that Chris?
Yeah.
Abby?
Yeah?
Yeah, Tony Harris, just put me in the queue, please.
So I have myself, I have Olga, I believe, and Tony.
No, it's Olga wants to be in the queue, but it was not the first one that says me.
Oh, was that? I'm sorry.
That was me, Abby.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I have Christina, and then I have Tony, and then I have Olga. Apologies.
And Tim.
And Tim. Okay. I wanted to first, in terms of this particular exercise for Cairo, and I was really hoping that we could sort of separate all of the discussions about whether it's just for need, you know, is it just council members, is it people who are important to a registry, is it, you know, are registrant fees, you know, or is money derived from registrant fees usable by people who lobby for particular registrant interests, et cetera, and leave all of those really tough questions for the new council that sort of comes through and is looking at things in the new light of, you know, redefined proportionalities, restructured by comma, whatever it is that the board is deciding at the moment is our fate. And so therefore that's why I sort of suggested a neutral process that we would go through where within the constraints given by the staff created rules, that every constituency would rank up to 3, from 0 to 3, and without sort of any prejudice of deciding is this person, is that person appropriate, as I say, just for the Cairo, that we would come out. Now, in terms of making a decision, had we gotten to the point of having to decide between someone who is needy and someone who perhaps doesn't appear as needy, then we may have gotten it. Since we've got a formula that allows us to cover everyone that was put on the list during this exercise, that I admit is not perfect, but is something to try and resolve things before getting into the weighty issues, I'm hoping we can leave, sort of set the weighty issues aside and just go with something that works.
I'm sorry, Aubrey, but that wasn't clear that that was what was going to be the outcome here. And I'm sorry to just butt in, this is Tim. But if we'd have known that, you know, well, if we only get 10 names and we're just going to fund everybody, you know, we might have put a couple more names on the list.
But
that wasn't clear that that was going to be the outcome.
I apologize for that. I thought that in the various notes and the various questions that people asked me, and in fact I had talked about the whole thing, that in the best of all cases we will only have 10 names and we will be able to fund everyone. I think I said that quite explicitly in the suggestion that I was putting forward to try and find a solution. It was only if we had more. So yes, I was hoping that, you know, in my particular hope, I was hoping that it would be need-based. But there is no decision, and if we try to resolve all of these hard issues before Cairo, we won't have a list. So, Christina. Christina?
Sorry. I'm going to have to... Well, I just wanted to note that I would be very appreciative if this is, in fact, the formula that works. Also, to make abundantly clear that I will not accept full support. I cannot and I will not do it. If the decision is that there can be no partial support, I should note to him that the practical matter, half Uda and half me, you really only have one. If the decision is made, then I will respect that. But I will respect it. And I would also note that I tried to be very forthcoming about the restrictions on my attendance. Again, then renders me ineligible for any travel support.
Yes, I just wanted, well, actually, Avery said what put into words what I was thinking. And I rather interpreted that this particular meeting is sort of an interim situation, and then there would be more in-depth consideration and discussions on how to move forward henceforth. And I think really the decision of what's to be done in this case seems to solve everybody's problem, and we can then look to the future afterwards.
Thank you. Olga?
Yes, it's a different kind of question. As a non-com appointee, I understand that we have travel support. What I would like to understand if the support will be the same, the procedure for the travel support would be the same as before, or if it has changed, and if it has changed, how it will be from now on.
I we'll have to get into that separately, and you know, we'll talk. I believe that it is the same as everyone else's is what's being said, other than it's automatic.
Okay.
Avery, could you add me to the queue, please, Tony?
Okay, Tony. Okay. So, Olga, on any of those issues, we'll have to work them out with staff, but I believe that, except for Chair, and who happens to be NOMCOM, it's the same process, so it's the same write a status report. It's the same. I have tried to get clarification on the issue of per diem versus direct coverage for hotel, but again, that's not an issue for this meeting. We'll have
okay.
to get that resolved outside.
Okay. Thank you.
Tim.
Yeah, I would just like to restate my request that we, before any decision is made, that the NCUC has an opportunity to fund all three of their counselors from this fund. And I don't see any difference in that than funding all of the VC or two of all of the other commercial users' constituencies. Certainly, you know, if the NCUC can come up with the funds to try to possibly fund one counselor, I can't see any reason why the commercial users couldn't do the same thing. And if they can't, then maybe they need to relook at the structure of their constituencies and how they're funded. But at the very least, if we're going to move forward with this as it is, then I would like to be sure that the NCUC knows that they have the opportunity to fund all three of their counselors to this.
The problem, okay, if I can interject, the problem I have with that is everyone was given the same exact question. And
not everyone had the same exact understanding, and
that's
clear here.
That's never the case in anything, that everyone has the same exact understanding. I can't think of a single situation in the world where everyone has the same understanding. However, everyone was presented with the same
Aubrey, we don't even stick to the bylaws when we're doing a PDP. So it's ridiculous now to say that there's some rule being imposed here that can't be
flexible. I'm basically trying to solve the issue and reopening it up at this point when we've managed to cover everyone that's there is really just a formula for how do we exclude someone. So I personally have a problem with reopening it.
It's not a matter of excluding. It's a matter of including.
But we can't include.
Depends on how you want to look at it.
Okay, Tony.
Oh, yeah, just on that last point, I certainly don't think it's advisable to open this up again. And I just wanted to add my support for those who've spoken in the terms of moving forward on the basis we've discussed earlier for Cairo, and then taking a fresh look at it and looking at the other issues after that. So with that, I do support that we move forward on that basis, and apologies, I'll have to leave the call now. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Aubrey, please add me to the queue.
Okay, Chuck, and I'd also like to ask Norbert like to be to the queue as the NCUC person that's on the call. I apologize for putting you on the spot, but I'd like to get your opinion on whether we need to reopen this as NCUC has made its own statement. But Chuck.
Yeah, one of the things, the challenges that I will have, obviously, is to take this back to the registered constituency before September 4th and make sure that I vote the way that the constituency wants me to vote. Okay? Two requests in that regard. The first one, Aubrey, be very careful. It would be very helpful to have your I don't know if it's in the form of a motion or not, your proposal.
Yeah, it would be a motion.
Okay, so it'd be very helpful to have that as soon as possible.
Oh, yeah,
so
no,
that,
I need to
so
have
that
it
I
today,
can,
so it's a week ahead.
Okay, very good. Secondly, I know in advance that it would be very helpful for me getting the support of the registries for this package, for this interim solution, if in cases where it hasn't been already stated in the request on the council list that a statement of need, in other words, someone couldn't attend the meeting without some travel support, would be made. Now, I'm not asking that in cases where it's already been made, and there are several of those. But there are also several of those where it was just a request for funding. And I know, based on the registry's position, that if that statement was made, and I'm not looking for any audit of that, I'm just looking for a statement that there is a legitimate need for the funding, that would facilitate registry constituency members supporting this concept.
So, Chuck, if this is Tim, if someone says, well, I can't go unless I'm funded, that's sufficient?
Yes, that would be sufficient. I don't think we want to get into an audit situation that we... I'm okay with self... declaration that there's a need.
With privacy concerns of who would have to look at whose financial information on what objective basis to determine that they had need is a vicious kettle of fish that I don't think we would want to.
No, and I'm not suggesting that at all.
As I requested, people should include their reasons for the request, whether it was need, whether it's extraordinary circumstance. I think, in terms of, while Philip hasn't said anything in this meeting on this one, sort of answering the question of if these people aren't council members or working group members, in what respect is there a GNSO need for the person to be there would probably be a good thing to include also. If we're going to start collecting information so that we can get a more discriminatory view, as opposed to here's a process, we followed it, we got a number of names that we could accommodate, and that's, if we've got more names, just as a point of reference, if we end up by reopening things and end up with more names, then we have to start looking at how we exclude somebody from the list. And it then becomes more of a problematical discussion. And as I had always looked at, if we have a problematical discussion, the only thing we can do is then do random selection by lot, which is less fortunate. At the moment, we seem to have a finite list that can be handled. And from what I can tell, there's sort of a rough consensus, certainly not, and certainly not complete consensus for putting that as a motion before the council. I've heard, one voice against and one voice in please include enough information so that, I have a basis for voting.
And Aubrey, one more thing there. One of the things that the registers also were very clear on in the constituency statement in this regard is that transparency was really, really important. And I tried to be as transparent as possible, and others have done so as well, in their request for funding, and I think that's a very important principle.
Yeah, and I believe that we've run this whole process as open as possible, too, with the call being recorded, with everything being done online on an open list. So I do believe that the process has continued in a very transparent way. And certainly, the requests have been almost all written with reasons. Some of them have indicated that there's a financial need. Some of them have indicated that there's another reason within the constraints of the policy put forward by the staff. Those are both equally valid.
And then one last point is that I do believe in the case of, at least in this interim procedure, that the six slots, one for each constituency, should primarily be evaluated by the constituencies themselves. some of them may not have the same criteria that the registries apply, and I understand that. But I do believe that it's appropriate for that being a constituency decision. The seats beyond that, I think, are of a different nature.
But that's just... Yes.
No, this is not, but you had asked me something.
Yes, I asked you a question. Thank you.
The line here is going up and down. I didn't catch it correctly. Can you please repeat your question?
Okay. Tim Ruiz had basically asked that we go back to the NCUC, who put forward two names and indicated that the third council member had his own funding, and basically had asked that I basically go back to the NCUC and say, hey, you know, are you sure you only wanted these two, you know, because look at the list that we've got before us. Maybe you would like to, you know, suggest some other names so at least all council members would be covered. So, and I basically was asking you whether, you know, for your feelings on that need.
Our discussion has been going on very much in the context that there are so many questions being raised also today about, for example, the splitting and the relationship to other funds, that we were really focusing our discussion on the Cairo meeting, hoping that we can come up with a intensive discussion on the policy at a different stage. But for the present time, we were, with our budgetary situation, requesting that the two council members can get a support, while the third council member, we have found other resources.
Thank you. So, it's 57 minutes on the hour now. Let me not say what time it is. I'd wanted to do this for only an hour. I believe that we have a rough consensus with one dissenting view. I will mention the dissenting view in the note that I send, and I'm sure Tim can, you know, amplify and correct me where I say it inaccurately or too coarsely. If indeed I've done that, and I know it's quite possible that I did. And the second item I had, which is how we proceed with commenting on the policy, and then an item I don't have on, which is how do we proceed for the future, given the existence of this current policy, are topics that I will move to a future time. I think that, you know, I do have them on the agenda for September 4th. I do invite anyone that wants to start a drafting team on writing a response to do so. And I think any individuals and any constituencies that want to write more particular responses that contain elements that all of the council might not agree to should also consider their making their responses. In closing, did anyone else want to add anything? Okay. Well, I appreciate everyone's attendance and everyone's participation. I will get the write-up of this out and the motion and obviously, like all motions in our policies, in our work, it will be editable and modifiable and discussable. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Ari.
Bye. Thank you, Ari.
Thank you.
Bye.